too early.
Is that? Because I was told it took 20 seconds to turn it on, so I was a bit nervous. Well, thank you for having me here to share God's word with all of you. You know, I am kind of a visual person. When I was given this sermon title, Together in Joy, kind of I was in my mind looking for a picture. What does this together in joy look like? Let's imagine. What kind of picture would that be? Or maybe some, you know, dynamic leaders and or song leaders or preachers in front and the congregation members all together singing, warmly worshiping God, waving your hands, joyfully praising God. Or maybe holding a cup of tea after service, chatting with your good friends. Or perhaps youth group playing games during the week. Or maybe Bible study group going out to a nice restaurant to having dinner. Or maybe mother's group have a picnic in a park in a sunny day. I was just thinking, if I were a web designer, I probably will choose those photos and put on the new church website. However, I also had a different picture in my mind. It was from my recent experience in New York City. I don't know if I mentioned to you, I concluded my previous church ministry in early May, and then I had about 3 months off. I spent a month with my family and I went to the States. So we spent 2 weeks in New York. So I arrived in New York 23rd of June. And the 24th of June was Sunday. So the reason I will tell you the date was because that was an important day for the New York City. They had a gay pride parade, to remember the 49th anniversary of this event called the Stonewall Riots. And I did a bit of research. The Stonewall was the cafe, and 49 years ago, and the gay people there gathering, and the police came, they're not happy, so they fought. So that pretty much is the beginning of this movement. So every year this time in June, they will have a citywide parade. So we didn't know anything about it when we got there. We were heavily jet-lagged. Sunday morning, we got out. The place we stayed, very close to Times Square. So we went there, and my wife noticed there are rainbow flags everywhere. And we didn't know where the parade's going to be. And we planned to visit Redeemer Presbyterian Church in downtown. So we said, okay, good. We get to the subway. We stay away from Times Square. Stay away from Fifth Avenue. We might be good. So we got to downtown, which, if you've been to New York, you know the grid system? They organize the streets, like the avenues just coming down from uptown to downtown, and then the streets from east to west. So downtown Redeemer was on, I think, on 14th Street, and we have to cross 6th Avenue to get to the church. So we got out of the subway, all of a sudden, people all over us. You know, I have two boys, 9 and 7. They never saw people dress like that. All the supporters of the parade. So we went, and we're trying to cross 6th Avenue to get to the church, because we could even just see the church building up there. They're using the Salvation Army building, and we just couldn't get across. And finally, we find a way to get across. We sit down, 10 minutes late, and you know what? Actually, I felt it was a haven. It was kind of like an oasis. And our family, we didn't know anyone there. And the service was already started. You know, we kind of stand up to sing songs, and we listen to the sermon. But deep down, I felt on that day as I was be able to sit next to a believer to worshiping God. And that was together enjoy. So that was the picture I got. And perhaps from this paragraph, this chunk of the Bible, Paul was talking about together in joy. Perhaps in a similar way. Maybe I read verse 15 again, 15 to 18. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering and a sacrifice and a service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. You see here, to Paul, it is in a fallen world. And it is a dark sky as believers gather together, shining like stars. And Paul says, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. So I would like to focus on these three verses and let us together think about the question of what, and then we think about how. I think what question, what does this image together in joy look like? And then we think about how. How can we, the followers of Jesus, gather together in joy? Maybe a little bit of background, you probably already know from the book of Philippians, the letters to the Philippians. I think that time the Philippine churches were suffering church as a community, and they have external problems and also internal problems. Philippi, it's in a very strategic location. It's on the very east end of Macedonia. Basically, it was a Roman military colony. So through there, they could go to the east, like today's Turkey. It is a colony where people live, most of Gentiles, and they actually loved the emperor. They loved emperor, that name, the first emperor was Augustus. So they actually called the emperor Lord and Savior. So just imagine the church Christian there, they only worship Jesus. Jesus is the only Lord and Savior. Imagine that conflict externally. And then internally, if you read through the letter, you probably will sense there's a sense of tension there. And that Paul keeps mentioned, church were divided, some people very selfish, you know, grumbling, you know, arguing. And it seems to me people just simply don't get along with each other that well. So knowing the challenges the Philippians face, Paul here actually is calling the believers to shine among the citizens in Philippi like stars in the sky. I think in a similar way, Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew also called us to be the light and the salt to the world. And here, if you pay attention, you see verse 15, when Paul points out the believers actually live in a warped and a crooked generation. That verse actually was quoted from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32 is the son of Moses. So as you know, before Moses died, he had this song for the next generation of Israelites, just to remind them. All right, your living environment is terrible. You're living in this ungodly generation. And guess what? Are you going to be like light to shine, like stars in the dark? So that's why Paul quoted that. So as I probably naturally will agree, like today's world, like where our church situated, we are still living in a warped and the crooked generation. And myself, when we were in New York, you know, of course, as tourists, it's all good, you know, New York City, exciting museums, Central Park, you know, and all the history in New York, and yeah, so it's great fun. But the first day I landed, and on Sunday, the parade actually did remind me, you know, we are still living in a generation which is ungodly. So as I was just shared with you, I walk across the 6th Avenue, getting into the church building, and I was struggling, really just trying to calm down and concentrate on God. And I can share, like I did have a deep sense of joy. I did see a picture of God's people in such a you know, dark world as a church, still there to worship God. To my surprise, you know, I've been reading a lot about Tim Keller's Redeemer Church, you know, kind of in my imagination, it must be a vibrant church, but actually not. It actually was a very low-key church. There was no sign out there, and no one was standing on the street worship, welcoming. And people just quietly stream into the church building and worship God together. And it did give me a sense of kind of just gather together, being the light and the salt, being as a star in the darkness. And that kind of gathering, and I do have a sense of relief and joy. And to see a faithful church serving there in a very secular New York, it is not easy. It's kind of like a church in a persecution. So that's how I felt. So in that way, I was rejoicing. So you see, you know, what all I'm trying to say is together in joy, it's not kind of a superficial type of happiness. You know, like sometimes you feel like, you know, when we come to church, people are nice to me, I'm happy. You know, it's a good church. You know, like I have heard an excellent sermon from the preacher, and I'm happy, and, you know, my past visited me, or even come to the city to meet with me over lunch, I'm happy. And all these things are good, I'm not saying bad, but what I'm trying to point out is, together in joy is more than just feeling happy. And the Paul's joy is very profound. He was saying, you know, as the Philippian believer shine in the darkness, then what he said, verse 17, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Here, Paul basically is saying, you know, together you are faithful and you are willing to suffer for the gospel and you shine like the star. And at the same time, even though I'm physically not with you, I'm in jail, and potentially I could be killed, but as I also poured out everything I got for the sake of the gospel, and I am glad, and I am rejoicing. So just think in this way. You know, your church support missionaries, right? And you've got all the missionaries on the back. And when the missionaries receive news from the church in Macquarie, say, how are you being faithfully serving God? Even in a not stable time, I'm aware you're looking for senior minister, a new direction, and perhaps you have internal struggles. I don't know all these things, but I'm just thinking, through that, you still gather together, have joy. What kind of encouragement for the people on the field? Just like to Paul. And as they sacrifice themselves, serving God. And that kind of joy, like a layer on top of layer, that kind of togetherness. I think that's what Paul's talking about. Together in joy. So then the question is how? How can we be together in joy? Keep your Bible open. Verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So here, let's pay attention to that, to this verse. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I think here it's talking about worshiping God. How do you continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Well, I'm saying that if you read the previous verse, verse 10 to 11, it's talking about every knee shall bow and then every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that therefore you work out our salvation. So it kind of also reminds me Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1 is talking about offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. And I do believe Christians not just worship God on Sunday, and we're actually worshiping God every single day as a living sacrifice. And this is how we work out our salvations. And also, you know, how do you worship God? As we truly worship God, we see God's glory. And glory, in a sense, is about God's heaviness. It's weighty. And before an almighty God, what kind of attitude are you going to have? And you got to have a sense of fear and trembling, isn't it? So that's what Paul's talking about. And as we, you know, think about our Christian life, everyday living, let us worshiping God with fear and trembling. And in that sense, as we come together, you know, the ultimate joy of salvation is actually comes from worshiping God. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of life circumstances, ups and downs, when we true heartedly worship God and we sense that joy. And then second aspect in terms of how to be together in joy is verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. And these kind of grumbling, arguing, from the Bible is kind of familiar. It reminds me Israelites in the desert. Israelites got everything in the desert. Not everything, you know, they're traveling, you know, for a long, long time, but God provided. And however, they never satisfied, and they grumbling, and they argue. So I think Paul was referring to that kind of thing. So basically, when people argue, when people grumble, you're not satisfied, and you're not secure, and you self-pity, and you only look for your own self-interest. But Paul here instructs us, instead of that, you got to live. He was saying you hold firmly to the word of life, right? And when we have the bread of life, the word, what kind of impact to your daily life? And you're satisfied. That's your spiritual bread. And you'll be grateful because you're being reminded every day your salvation, God's grace. And also you're being reminded you are safe in Christ. And you have that relationship with Jesus. And as you come together as a congregation, and what's going to happen? And you're willing to serve each other. And to overcome the selfishness. So to be honest, I need to confess. I have a confess to make. The day I went to Redeemer, I had my own false expectations. You know, I read Tim Keller's book. I want to check out the Redeemer Presbyterian Church. It seems like the model for us. I hoping Tim Keller was there. I heard the music was excellent. They use professionals, and I think they're doing welcoming. It's all that good. I feel, you know, like just all these expectations. But when I got there, none of them. Tim Keller wasn't there. Music was good though, but no one talked to us. And well, I assumed that afterwards. I thought I was, you know, heavily jet lagged, my boys were sleeping, so probably people won't leave us alone. But anyway, I was expected people were more welcoming, but I was not. And then that night, actually, I confessed. I thought, when I step into that church, I had consumer mentality. I wanted to consume that church. But as I shared before, I did feel the joy. But when, on the other side, I had this false expectation, it actually just prevent me to really experience the joy with another believer, to worship God in a dark city, you see? So that's why Paul was saying, don't grumbling, do not arguing. When we come to the church, then we can be satisfied as we worship God together. So I think that's the second aspect, why Paul is teaching us not grumbling, not arguing. So lastly, two examples there. As you see from the Bible reading, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And Timothy, Paul was saying, he is the one who showed genuine concern for your welfare. And Epaphroditus, he is the one actually working very hard. He almost died, and he risked his life to serve his people. And I think that these two examples there in the middle of this letter for a reason. I think Paul wanted to give us a picture. When people like that make up a community, that's a community full of joy. And Timothy was the one who actually lived for the people, with the people. He concerned for other people's well-being, not himself. I just think as a minister, and I really learned this kind of image, like a shepherd and a sheep. You know, in a spiritual warfare, the shepherd is the one stand between the wolf pack and the sheep. And I can imagine Timothy was the one stand in between and fighting on his congregation people's behalf. Protect them, you know, not for his own interest, not concerned for his own welfare. But I just imagine if everyone here and stand up in this spiritual battle, serve each other, protect each other, guard against the evil spirit's attack. And this community will be a joyful community. And the same thing for Epaphroditus. And he is the one endured hardship. And yesterday there was a kind of event right for refugees, and I don't know if you heard, and I took my son there. It's a new venue. It's beautiful there. It's kind of the old Olympic side, and just riding around the water. It was flat. It's all fine. But you know what? I think if just that, I will forget that event very soon. Because yesterday was very windy, if you remember. And I had to work really hard in front of my son, help him to reach the 25-kilometer goal. So that, I think, we will remember. I think church life is like that. I think church life, if all smooth sailing, flat, sunny, and you won't remember, and you will not appreciate the joy. However, if we're all going through hardships, so maybe like something you guys might experiencing now, you know, without leader or something, I don't know. You know, we always have health issues, and I still want to serve God, and busy family, like kids, and going through the hardship, but still willing to serve each other. And as a result of that, you experience the joy. And I think, and that's the joy Paul is talking about. And that's the example we should learn. So I think these two examples came here as with a reason and why Paul gave to us. So I just try to encourage ourselves as we read this passage, thinking about the idea together in joy. You know, as we are aware, our church, we are under pressure from an increasingly secular Sydney. And also internally, we're still selfish people, we are sinful people, we're grumbling, to be honest. I have to confess myself, we tend to argue. Knowing that, I think today's passage is a great encouragement as well as rebuke. It reminds us our joy can only be found when we are gathered together, shining like stars. When we are gathered together like light and salt. When we worship our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul. And when we find our security only can be found in Christ. When we being content, we're always full of thanksgiving and praise. When we look up towards each other, looking for role models to follow, to live as a living sacrifice. So together in joy, it's not something superficial. It can only be found in the very core of the community, where the Lord Jesus is truly worshipped, where his name is fully glorified. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. As Jesus came to this earth, he suffered and he died on a cross. That's an upside down vision. And through that, we have new life. And we also rejoice in a community living as we be able to serve each other with genuine love. And in that way, we experience the joy and you graciously give to us. And the Lord, help us to experience that. And help us to overcome our sinful nature. Help us to build these communities stronger so we'll be able to worship you wholeheartedly. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.